This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm once again not here with my little brother, Jeffrey, who is in an undisclosed location in an underground bunker. And I think we're still gonna put the bounty out on him one more time, just because I want to. And for those of you who are regular listeners like Mom and Dad, you know that the bounty consists of anybody who can provide a picture of Jeff within the last 24 hours will get a dozen roses from Mayfield Florist, dinner at 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer, and $10 credit worth of pinball at D&D Pinball. Just give us a call at 520-428-5104. That's 520-428-5104. And we'll hook you up. Well, no, actually, you need to email me a picture because I'm asking for a picture. So email me a picture at fred@fredandjeff.com, and we'll hook you up with all those prizes. But do keep that phone number in mind because that is the Fred and Jeff contest dedicated phone number. And we'll be giving some other stuff out during the show. But with me instead of my dear little brother, Jeffrey, is my dear father, Jim. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing great. That's beautiful.
What's beautiful?
The weather that we've been getting this 80 degree past week has been phenomenal.
It has been very nice. Now, I got a question for you. How many animals have you killed recently in your little trap that you set up at the house?
Too many.
So this is a fun story because my dad has beautiful citrus trees, and he's got this huge pomegranate tree, and the birds have been coming in and making themselves at home in the tree and destroying all the fruit. So a couple weeks ago, we put some poles up and tied the tree up and put a huge amount of netting around it so the birds can't get in. But it seems that some other animal has become a trap for some flora and fauna in the region.
Those larger lizards don't have a chance, but I had about a 3.5-foot racer, and it got entwined, and it got out by himself. So it's not totally trappable.
But the fruit is safe.
Fruit is safe.
The lizards are not. The lizards are not. So what else? You know, we got a lot of stuff going on in the community. Now, one of the things that I always think about you with this, because we harass Laszlo Verish, the Zumba master, and also, you know, we refer to him as the Zumba master, which people may think that's his occupation, but he's actually the conductor of the Tucson Symphonic Winds and the Pops. The Winds play at Udall, and the Pops play at the Meester over at Reed Park. And, you know, during your tenure as director of Parks and Recreation, you had a lot to do in the continued success of the Pops program.
And that's correct, Fred. We built the new amphitheater that is used today at Reed Park, and it became the DeMeester Amphitheater because George's DeMeester was the first conductor of the Pops. It's always been free, and people should go out on Sunday evening. It's very, very enjoyable. And, of course, Laszlo's taken over that podium, as well as he continues to work with the Symphonic Winds at Udall. And he arrived at Udall as soon as we had a wall set up and a little stage. And
he was first in line?
He was first in line, and he's been there ever since and does a magnificent job with some very, very good, a very, very good orchestra.
Yeah, now, if I remember correctly, the Symphonic Winds is an all-volunteer group.
That's correct.
And the Pops on Sunday night, that's professional group, and a lot of those players that you hear for free on Sunday nights at DeMeester are actually some of our highest quality musicians in the Tucson Symphony Orchestra.
That's correct. I think both groups are very high quality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The community has really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, this is George Hansen's last season with the symphony. George has been here for at least a billion years, and he's leaving. He's not leaving Tucson. I mean, he's got a gig in Germany, but he still has a home here, and he'll be in and out supporting the symphony continually. But this is his last season, and we'll have him on in short order. The opening season starts with Bernstein, Gershwin, and Copland, which, if anybody knows George, that's like his bread and butter right there.
His favorite.
Favorite composers. So that starts on September 26th and 28th. And it's just a spectacular season all the way down. They have the classics. They have the pop series. They have all sorts of stuff. The one thing I'm looking forward to is Disney's Fantasia live in concert. So they're actually going to show Fantasia on the big screen, and the symphony is going to be playing live to the animation, Disney animation. That's going to be phenomenal. Other stuff going on. I just got this this thing from Maker House. It's called the, and I'm not a beer drinker, so if I butcher this name, I apologize ahead of time. But it's the Deschutes Brewery, established in 1988. They're having a challenge, and the challenge is to build some kind of creative delivery system that takes their beer from the keg to a glass. And so if you contact Maker House, and it's Vanessa at makerhouse.org, it's first come, first serve, very limited opportunity. Teams of four people are being asked to create these delivery systems. They'll get $200 cash provided by the brewery. They will get a different Deschutes beer, which they have to theme their delivery system after. 50% of the materials have to be repurposed. They have to make a short video, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And all these big designs will be unveiled to the community and sometime in October, and we'll actually October 21st, and we'll get you more information as that is coming up. Dad, our dear cousin's coming back to Tucson to spend some time with the Armchair Chat at the Fox. Linda's coming October 5th at 7 p.m. at the Fox Theater. It's free, but people have to sign up for tickets early, so contact the Fox for details on being able to listen to our dear cousin Linda talk about whatever she wants to talk about.
There's a few other things that the community should be aware of. The Arizona Historical Society is celebrating 150 years. Arizona Sonora Desert Museum has a fabulous aquarium display, and the animals are very active over there. We had a chance to go over with our grandson a few weeks back and enjoyed it thoroughly. He got a real big kick out of all the rattlesnakes that he could see, take a long look at, and not be in any danger. And finally, if you haven't been out yet to the Reed Park Zoo to see the little female elephant.
They haven't named her yet, or they haven't announced a name.
They're in the naming process, but she is quite a show.
It's amazing to see, you know, you think about baby, cute little baby laying in a crib, and then you go out to the zoo and you see this, she's close to over 300 pounds now.
Yep.
Thing just trotting around, and it's a hoot. So, yeah, to go out to Reed Park Zoo and enjoy the baby elephant, soon to be named baby elephant. Last couple things for me, the Cardboard Ball is coming up, and that's on September 27th at Maker House. And the Cardboard Ball kind of kicks off the All Souls procession that happens in November. And this is a fundraiser to help fund workshops for people who want to build their own Day of the Dead kind of thing. So if you want to build a big mask, costume, face painting, if you want to learn how to do any of that stuff, this is a fundraiser that defrays the cost of about three or four workshops that will happen between now and the All Souls procession. So it's $10 to get in, cheap, $15 at the door the night of, and you're encouraged to show up in a costume or dress made out of cardboard. Last thing, Dad, Jeff and I committed to this thing in January called Beads of Courage Carry a Bead. And we've committed to getting 1,000 people to carry a bead for this program. And what happens is Beads of Courage is a program where children who are going through serious illness, life-threatening illnesses, are signed up in this program. Every time they go through some kind of procedure, whether it be drawing blood, spending the night in the hospital, a test, spinal tap, all sorts of things that these kids go through as they're fighting for their lives, essentially, they get a bead to help them commemorate that activity. And then for kids with long standing, you know, years on end, they string out these beads and they're really, really long, but they become very special for these children because it helps them tell their story of their illness and their fight and their successes and sometimes their failures. But there's a special bead called a carry bead, and that's when anybody in the community can go pick up a bead from Beads of Courage. It costs like $10, and you get two beads, and you're encouraged to go do something, go on a hike, take a trip, do something special to you, even if it's, you know, going to the library. And then you write a note to a child saying, I was on this hike and I was thinking about you and hope you get better, you know, something like that. So, and then these beads go to kids when they're going through especially hard times. So we're encouraging people to go to Beads of Courage. It's beadsofcourage.org. You can get it online or there's a shop over on North Dodge, just north of Fort Lowell. And it's a really cool place that they've got. They're in the Metal Village. And to pick up one of these beads, take it out with you on some kind of, you know, special moment that you and or your family is sharing, take a moment to write a note to the child, and it's going to go somewhere where it's desperately needed. If you want more information, give us a call at 520-428-5104. And I before we take our first break, I just remembered something. We did get a call over the weekend. Apparently, while we were announcing one of the events for the Tohono O'odham Nation, there was some laughter going on, and one of the tribal members felt that we were teasing or joking about the event. And we want to sincerely apologize if that was a perception. We, Jeff and I, are always laughing about everything, especially ourselves. So if the laughter came at an inopportune moment, it was not about the event. It was probably about something Jeff or I had said, that, you know, the stupid things we say on a regular basis. So we don't want to leave the perception that we were making fun of the Tohono O'odham Nation, their event, or anything else. We actually have a great deal of pride in the fact that our community shares real estate with two very significant Indian nations, and we'll just make that very clear. So with that little thing, Dad, we're going to our first commercial break. Stick around for more on The Fred and Jeff Show. And you live with yourself behind all your pride. Take me back, won't you please? Oh, I beg of you. And I know that you would if you only would do a little soul searching, yeah. Just a little soul searching. Oh, just do a little soul searching, yeah. Just a little soul searching. This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm not here with my little brother, Jeffrey. He is in an undisclosed location in an underground bunker, and we still have a bounty out on his head. So if you have a recent picture of my dear Jeffrey, send it to Fred at FredandJeff.com, and there'll be a prize pack available for you. But regardless of that, we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. Now, with me in studio as co-host is my lovely dad, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Fred. How are you?
Good. And we're talking now with Bucky Lovejoy and Pat Jessup, who are in charge of, fond of chili.
Correct.
We're definitely fond of chili.
So you guys have an event coming up on September 27th. Tell us about it.
Well, it's the 10th Jonathan's Fun Chili Cook-Off. It'll be held at Jonathan's Cork on Tankaverde, where Tankaverde and Pima meet. And all the proceeds go to the benefit of the Sportsman's Fund.
Now, what is the Sportsman's Fund?
Sportsman's Fund is a group that was organized back in the late 40s by Claremont Loper, Chick Hawkins, Abe Channon, who was the sports editor for the Arizona Daily Star, and some local businessmen like Bill Breck. My father was involved in it and a few others. And their job was to go out and raise funds to send Less Chance youngsters to Y Camp.
The YMCA camp?
The YMCA camp up in that is now up in Oracle, yes. The Sportsman's Fund has since broadened it to where we now give money to the Girl Scouts and to the Boy Scouts for their camps. And occasionally the Prescott Burn Center asks us for money to send one or two campers to their camp that they have up in Prescott.
How many kids do you go through the program every year?
I think this year we're probably going to have at least 800 that are going to benefit from the Sportsman's Fund.
Now, is that just during the summer, or are there camps throughout the year that you guys support?
It's just during the summer that the kids go to camp. We used to have a function in the winter that we're debating whether or not we're going to continue with that or not, but it's primarily 100% of it is in the summertime.
And so this last summer you saw about 800 kids go through camp.
That is correct.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I mean, Jeff and I, when we were tykes, used to go to Y Camp for a week every summer, and that was just the best time in the world.
It's a fantastic camp. I mean, it has horseback riding and the rifle range, archery range. They have rock climbing, swimming. It is a fantastic camp.
So it seems like, you know, if you read the Arizona Daily Star, every single week there's some kind of article or something saying, you know, send money for the Sportsman's Fund. Do you guys ever stop raising money?
No, not really. The Arizona Daily Star has been very gracious in their work with us, and it kicks off every February with they put an envelope in one of their papers, and that's how the fund gets its official start. And then throughout the rest of the year, they will run articles about how much has been raised. This year, we had a goal of around $190,000, and I think the last article I saw, we were about $8,000 shy of reaching that goal, which I will tell you right now, with the money we've already collected for the chili cook-off, we are going to be over $190,000. So we're pretty excited about it.
So how much does it cost to send one kid to camp?
Well, it depends on what camp you're talking about. But
we'll say Y Camp.
Okay, the Y Camp, it's right around $385 a week per camper. The Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts are a little bit less, and they also want their campers to try and earn some of their own money. So it's a little bit different formula for the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. But the Y Camp, which is the main camp that we still give most of our money to, it's about $385 a week per camper.
Yeah, the Scouts have cookies and popcorn to sell. So,
correct, yeah. Yes.
So, Pat, tell us a little bit about the cook-off. We have about a minute left. Who's going to be there? What's it all about?
All of the participants are members of the Tucson Originals Restaurant Association. Includes the Kingfisher, Eclectic Cafe, Jonathan's, Pastiche, Rocco's Little Chicago, Mother Hubbard's Cafe, Monsoon's Grill, Tankaverde Ranch, Dante's Fire, Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue. We have a handful of sponsors, among which I'd like to thank Tucson Appliance Company and Golden Eagle.
Now, those are the big kids on the block, right?
They are the big kids on the block.
Okay, so you've been doing this chili cook-off for a while. Yeah?
Yes.
Can you publicly say who's your favorite? And let's take Jonathan off the table because he's the host. So the guys who you mentioned, who do you like the best?
The answer is it depends on the year and it depends on the chili. And we're talking about chili that varies from beans and ground beef to 1 year we had an entrant make chili with elk.
With what, elk?
Elk.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, if you guys want...
And it's all good.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So, that's Saturday, September 27th, Jonathan's Cork, from noon to 2. What's the cost to get in?
$10 to get in. We have a raffle. Raffle tickets are $5 a piece.
Perfect. So people head over to Jonathan's Cork over on Tega Verde. Enjoy some great chili. Support the Sportsman's Fund. And we'll be back in a few with more on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner. Poisoning last night after dinner.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm not here with my little brother Jeffrey, whose head there is a bounty upon. Send us a picture of Jeff taken within the last 24 hours, and you get yourself a prize package worth something. We are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And I am sitting here across from my good old dad, Jim Ronstadt. Dad, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this process. And one of the items that I hope will be brought to your show will be the Tucson Classic Car Show, which is sponsored by the Rotary Club of Tucson.
Well, since you're Rotarian and it's your car show, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's a car show that this year is held on the 18th of October at St. Gregory's, and we look to getting between 400 and 500 cars out there. It's a $5 ticket. The ticket is for entry as well as a raffle, and they've got a Corvette that will be raffled. And if you don't want the Corvette, there's cash, right? Available. That's correct. So
you can either get a classic Corvette or like $10, right?
No, it's not $10.
I'll get your $5 back. Is that how it works?
No, it's a sizable prize. But I'll tell you what, the Read and Seed program in Tucson has flourished because of this particular car show, and now we're starting to put more money into those activities in the community, which are really in need. Community organizations that have needs, and it's been a wonderful feeling and a wonderful event.
Well, talk about the Read and Seed for a moment, because you know that sometimes we'll start talking about something and we know what it is, but people in the community don't know what these things are.
Now, when we celebrated our the 100th anniversary of Rotary, Jim Murphy brought that project to the Rotary Committee, and basically we were doing some reading mentoring at Robeson School. Our Rotary members were going over and reading with kids that were having problems learning to read. And Jim brought the Read and Seed group over. That program has grown to over 1,000 reading coaches in every school district in the community. And we are beginning to see some real positive movement in the children in second and third grade being able to read well and literally be literate at the end of their third grade.
So this
is very, very important to the community.
So this program is, you're hooking up reading mentors with young kids, trying to get them to reading grade level by a certain age.
That's correct. And it has worked. I mean, we have since backed off. We raised well over $1 million for the program, and it's now on its own feet. It has combined with some of the other reading programs within the community, and we're looking forward to great things. The mayor got involved a couple of years ago, focusing on literacy and reading, and the community is very well aware, and it's thanks to, I think, what Rotary started with the support of the Read and Seed program.
That's wonderful. And that's going to be October 18th, the, what is it, about the 20th anniversary?
No, this is, this will be the 7th anniversary.
Oh, 7th, wow. It seems like it's been there forever. The 7th anniversary of the Tucson Rotary Car Show out at St. Gregory. So that's perfect. Now, there's another organization you belong to, and actually, if you listened to the show earlier, you heard from Bucky Lovejoy, the Conquistadors have been in town for more than 20 years.
50 plus.
50 plus is
so,
correct.
So yeah. Bucky's back, and Dad, you know, you both are Conquistadors, and we want to talk a little bit about that organization and the history in Tucson and what you guys have been doing for 5 decades. So Bucky, you know, we were talking earlier, you said you could give sort of a little a history lesson as far as the Conquistadors in Tucson. So go at it.
Back in early 1962, Roy Drachman had an idea about forming a group of businessmen and professional men in Tucson, and to kind of follow in the footsteps of the Phoenix Thunderbirds, who have been around since the mid-30s.
No, we don't talk about those guys.
I know, but that's kind of where the idea came from, so I got to at least mention their
name. No, Mr. Drachman came up with this.
Anyway, he contacted my dad and said, let's go have some coffee down at the old Pioneer Hotel and talk about it. And one meeting led to another meeting, led to another meeting, and in October they had their first meeting at the Elkhorn Hotel, the old Elkhorn Hotel. And the group took off, and we've been involved with amateur athletics and sports and helping amateur athletes in Tucson ever since.
So back in 1962, when this organization was put together, the goal was to support youth athletics, or did it have some other goals in mind?
No, it's to support amateur athletics. It's in our articles and in our bylaws that's what we're here for. We didn't start out with a golf tournament, though. The Tucson Golf Association and Ricky Burick were running the PGA golf tournament that was here for many years. And finally, 2 or 3 years after the Conquistadors were formed, the Tucson Golf Association turned the reins over to the Conquistadors, and we've been in charge of professional golf here in Tucson ever since.
That's interesting. You know, I've always assumed the Conquistadors had a hand in professional golf, and I never realized that professional golf had been going on in Tucson for that long.
Well, professional golf in Tucson, at one point, we were probably the 8th or 9th oldest stop on the PGA Tour. And if you count the time that we've had with Accenture that just left us, we're probably still up there in the 8th or 9th oldest tournament that's on the PGA Tour.
Well, there wasn't a gap between when the regular PGA stopped and the match play started.
There wasn't a gap, but the Conquistadors were not the, how would you say, Jim? We didn't run the tournament like Accenture ran the tournament. We were the sales arm for Accenture.
Oh, I see. So, growing up, I remember, you know, Dean Martin. You know, they had all these celebrities. It was typically Dean Martin. And then I think one year it was Rocky Mountain High guy, John Denver.
Well, John Denver was the
was he the last?
Celebrity, you know, he was a celebrity for the Pro-Am.
Oh, for the Pro-Am.
We had Joe Garagiola. for a number of years. In fact, Joe was the celebrity for the tournament at what is now Omni, was Tucson National, and then it moved to Randolph in 1979, and he continued for a few years to be the main celebrity. But they had, I mean, we had sports celebrities, we had Hollywood celebrities, you name it.
I remember everybody coming through this town.
They did.
I mean, you know, Bob Hope, Dean Martin, all, you know, Ed McMahon was here all the time. But I also remember, you know, Lee Trevino and Chichi Rodriguez. Those guys were a kick to have out in tour.
Well, and Arnold Palmer was here. And, you know, I mean, Arnie's Army was alive and well at Tucson National the year he won it. And we've had some of the great golfers. And now that the Conquistadors are going to be taking over a Champions Tour event in March of next year, March of 2015, many of those same golfers that played out at Tucson National and many that won at Tucson National, or Omni Tucson National, will be back at the Omni Tucson National for the Champions Tour event in March of 2015.
Okay, explain to me what a Champions Tour is. It's not like, you know, the reunion tour of all the old guys.
Well, in the old days, it was called the Seniors Tour. We used to kid that the regular tour we called the Flat Bellies, the Senior Tour we called the Round Bellies, and you have to be at least 50 years old to play on the Champions Tour. And there's some golfers that are on that Champions Tour that are making a lot of money playing good golf. I mean, there's good prize money involved, and they love the game, and that fits right in with our alley of what we want to do to help raise money for amateur athletics here in the Pima County, Southern Arizona.
Now, do they have to be like former match winners? Like they'd have to have at least one tournament under their belt, like champion tournament?
No, not really. Although a lot of them were winners on the PGA Tour. They have a qualifying school similar to the PGA, where anybody, if you're 50 or over, and you know, can try and see if they can make the Champions Tour.
So I could do that?
Yeah, if you're a scratch handicapper, scratch that one.
Scratch that one. If you've ever seen Fred slice, it goes two fairways and then comes back into the fairway. Hey, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no one says how you have to get the ball in the hole.
It's how many.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I do play shotgun tournaments, because, you know, best ball, where, you know, there's four of you and you all take a shot at the same place or from the same place, and then you continue on with the best ball. And I typically, you know, play with better players so I can enjoy my tequila and cigars on the course.
Well, and with your high handicap, what are you now, about a 22 or 23? I mean,
oh man, I'm off the charts.
You're helping the team out that way too.
Yeah, see, I own a bag of clubs, and that's it. That's where my golf skills end.
Well,
actually, we're going to end the segment with that. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Actually, two, I think.
Colorado Rocky Mountain High. I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain High. Colorado.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I am not here with my little brother, Jeffrey. I just want to remind folks that there is a picture bounty on the young lad's head. Anybody who sends me a picture of him taken within the last 24 hours and emails it to fred@fredandjeff.com. We'll win some fabulous prizes, including a dozen roses from Mayfield Florist, a gift card to 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer, and some pinball credit at D&D Pinball on 4th Avenue. So with me, instead of my dear little brother, is my dear father, Jim Ronstadt. Dad, how you doing?
I'm enjoying this.
Well, I'm glad you are. Because usually you're at home with mom enjoying it on the radio. And so our listening audience got cut down by 50%.
No, I don't think so. I think you're getting a lot better coverage than what you think.
So, of what we say. So, we were talking before the break with Bucky Lovejoy and my dad about the Tucson Conquistadors and the golf tournaments that have occurred here in the last five decades, and the fact that the Conquistadors, you know, a bunch of pushy businessmen took over the PGA from some innocent little kids back 50 years ago. But there's a championship. It's a championship tournament coming up. We lost a match play, but we got, I think, something that I would like watching better is championship golf, and that's coming in 2015.
March 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, I believe.
Perfect. Now, there are, I mean, anybody who's ever been out to the golf tournament should understand or think about this. There are massive logistics involved in putting something like this on. And you mentioned, Bucky, earlier that when the PGA tournament left and we got Accenture, that your role was sort of diminished in terms of you were just selling tickets and not putting the tournament together. But that's changing now with the championship. You're back to doing the whole nine yards.
That is correct.
Now, what does that involve?
It involves anything and everything that you see or don't see at the golf tournament that makes the golf tournament work. Everything from ordering the bleachers around the 18th green or the 9th green to ordering the porta potties that are scattered throughout the golf course, to making concession tents available for the people, to a press room so that the event can be publicized, to making hookups for the TV coverage. It literally involves everything that you can imagine at a golf tournament.
Yeah, including finding parking lots for the people that are going to be coming, making arrangements for busing if that's necessary. Doing all the roping of the golf course, the operations of the tournament is a real job, and most of the young actives that we have in the organization have not had that experience, and we're really looking forward to it as seniors in life's to see it happen again.
Now, so this is sort of like like a fraternity. They talk about hazing. So the senior and life members are going to see all the juniors having to put stakes in the ground along the road. They're going to have to, monitor the restrooms, take care of the trash, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's part of what as an active member of the Tucson Conquistadors you do. You are assigned a task, and as my dad told me when I became a conquistador back in 1977, there is one word that is not in your vocabulary in the conquistadors, and that is the word no. If somebody tells you to do something, it is, I can get it done.
See, I'm getting an education right now, because my belief was that the role of a conquistador was to hang out in the conquistador's hospitality tent throughout the tournament and make sure that people were well taken care of.
Well, after you've done your job, assuming you have 30 seconds left, you can probably come down to the conquistador hospitality suite and enjoy a ice cold water, iced tea.
Yeah, some pretzels and maybe a hot dog and hamburger.
Correct.
Now, I was told during the break that the Conquistador's Hospitality Tent has a nickname.
Yes, it does. It's called Bucky's. And we started out with Russ Perlick, when he was tournament chairman, asked me to run the Conquistador Hospitality Suite. And again, not having the word no in my vocabulary, I said, all right. And it took about a half a tournament before the Conquistador Hospitality Suite turned into Bucky's, and slowly but surely over the years has evolved to Bucky's, to where there's signs up now that say Bucky's and the bar says Bucky's, and it's referred to as Bucky's.
Now, I was just thinking, in the past, there's huge party during one of the nights of the tournament. And if I remember, it's like an extra cost to get in. It's a fundraiser, additional thing for Conquistadors. Is that still going to happen?
That's one of the things that the tournament chairman, Joe Brossert, and his committee are thinking about right now. because the week of the golf tournament is also the same week as the first round of the NCAA basketball playoffs, where we hope to watch our Wildcats go all the way, we might not be able to have a party along the lines of what we've had in the past, but there will be some sort of a function at Tucson National, but we just don't have all of the details yet.
Oh, that'd be great. So it will be at Tucson National?
More than likely it will be. We're going to have a huge, in the old days it was called a Grand Slam tent. This will just be some sort of a hospitality tent. We'll have lots of TVs so that no matter who's playing basketball, there'll be plenty of TVs on to watch it. There will be lots of libations and food available and to have a good time while you're watching the golf tournament.
So when do you guys start selling tickets?
Yesterday.
So, any,
have you bought yours yet?
I usually rely on the kindness of a conquistador.
Oh, you mean your dad?
Or my brother.
Oh, okay.
Or actually, you know, in past years, I've got invited by different people. You know, I love watching golf on TV, and I love watching, you know, the drama unfold live in person. But I just spend too much time at the hospitality tent, and that's the golf tournament for me.
Well, a lot of people do the same thing.
So who are the people, the players that you're hoping to wrangle in here in March?
Well, this year's Champions Tour event is going to end, I think it's, if it's not this week, it's next week with the Charles Schwab Cup. And there are players like Bernhard Langer that will be playing in the Charles Schwab Cup along with many other of the old Senior Tour, now Champions Tour golfers. And we expect a great field for next year's event.
Now, people like Lee Trevino, they aren't playing anymore, are they?
I don't think Lee's playing competition golf anymore.
I would love to see that stuff again.
Now, one other thing that the community is going to see is an opportunity to play in a pro-am with these golfers that are in the championship tour. So it should be a real good opportunity. And those foursomes are also being sold along with the tickets for the tournament.
Now, is it going to be a celebrity kind of deal with, you know, the Hollywood people, sports figures, or is it just going to be the golfers?
More than likely, it'll just be the golfers, although if the right Hollywood personnel happens to pop up, I'm sure they'll be offered an opportunity to play.
Because we have some friends in Hollywood.
A few.
It'll be a two-day pro-am event because the Champions Tour only plays 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going to have a pro-am event on Wednesday and Thursday. And again,
so that gives a ton of people an opportunity to come out and play with these guys.
And it gives the conquistadors a big opportunity to make more money so that they can return it back to the community through amateur athletics.
That's great. So we got a couple minutes left, Bucky. Let's talk about where all this money goes, because the conquistadors over the last 50 years have literally brought millions of dollars to amateur athletes in this community, and have seen actually some standouts go and make some professional career choices. So tell us about the programs that exist right now that you guys are supporting.
Well, I think to date, the conquistadors have donated more than $26 million back into the community to either amateur athletes or programs or functions. One of our latest ones was the big gymnasium that they built out of River Road in La Cholla, where the Roy Drachman Gym at the Boys and Girls Club. We've got our fingers in a lot of pies around Tucson as it pertains to sports for amateur athletes. We fund certain teams to go to, for example, if a girls softball team wins the city championship and needs to go to the nationals, there's a process by which they can ask us for some funding, and more than likely they're going to get some funding to do that. We've had people like Sean Elliott who've benefited from the conquistadors' gifts. We've had volunteers that have worked at the golf tournament whose children have been involved with through the conquistador programs, and they just volunteer their time because of the great experience that their children had.
Yeah, and I mean, there's stuff like First Tee that's going on all the time.
First Tee is going year-round.
Introducing kids to golf and just all the other things you guys do.
That is correct. We're real proud of our First Tee program. It's one of the finest in the country. We also have another junior golf program in Tucson where if you go and you don't necessarily have to be First Tee, but you attend a class and learn some of the etiquette of golf, and you can go play golf on city golf courses. So there's many different ways that we help out the amateur athlete in the Tucson area.
Well, Bucky and Dad and Pat, thanks for everything you guys do.
Fred, can I – one quickie?
Quickie.
Tucson High, 1964, 50-year class reunion, September 26 and 27. For information, call Bill Selby at Tucson Racquet Club.
Very nice. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Dad, for helping out.
You're welcome.
We'll see you all next week on the Fred and Jeff Show. Conquistador, your stallion stands in need of company. And like some angel's haloed brow, you reek of purity. I see your armor plated breast has long since lost a sheen.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.